Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 7. Matthew, chapter 7. We'll read verses 7 through 11 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Matthew, chapter 7, verses 7 through 11. Matthew, chapter 7, verses 7 through 11. Ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? Let's finish on verse 11 together. Ready? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? I'll read one other verse. You need not turn there. 1 John chapter 3, verse number 22. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this place. You're such a good God to us. Lord, we owe you so much. May today we give you the respect that you deserve and listen during the preaching. May we open up our hearts. Lord, you created all this for us. He gave us this world and all the things to enjoy in it, our food, the air we breathe. Lord, you've created it all just for us, and you created us for you. Now please, as your man preaches, may we listen to him. May we allow your Holy Spirit to work in our hearts and our lives, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
Today I will give to you what, in my opinion, is the greatest need of the people of the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church at this time. The area that we hurt ourselves the most right now, or we hurt our church, or the area in which we hurt others the most, is probably a result of this particular area. Maybe the greatest need of your life, maybe the greatest need of our church, or the greatest need of our ministry, is the truth about which I will preach today. If you came to me and said, "Brother Owens, what do I need?" I think I could answer that question, though you will not need to come to me. I will answer that question with this sermon. You say, "But you don't even know what my problem is." But I know what this truth is. And this truth is an answer to a part of your problem. I am just sure of it. To the people that help to lead this ministry, I wish you would set up and that your antennas of spiritual perception would tune in on this truth. To those of you that are struggling in your Christian life, and many are, and I mean struggling above and beyond what is necessary, if you'll listen, I will give you a truth today. It'll be nothing new. I will emphasize something that I think we already know, but we have some of the same problems, and God gives us some of the same answers. Today I want to help you. Maybe the greatest need in your life, maybe the greatest need of the Christians in this church, and we have a fine group of Christians here. Wonderful, wonderful group of godly Christian people. But let's see if I could help you today. The problem, the need, this truth, it's really twofold. The topic is prayer. Now, you say, "Brother Owens, you said twofold." Well, in regard to this issue of prayer, the first thing we face is, you don't pray. Now really, I wish I could take a long time and just talk to you about that. You don't pray. But, for those that do pray, you don't get your prayers answered. Now obviously, you cannot get your prayers answered if you don't pray. I do not have time this morning, nor is it my intent to talk with you about the fact that you are not a prayer. But I will talk to you today about the fact that those that do pray are not getting their prayers answered. And I would like to help you with that second part of the issue of prayer. The title of this sermon is this: The Answer to Your Asking is Receiving. The answer to your asking is receiving. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 3, verse number 22, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him. Again, look at me and listen very carefully. The young people that sit over here in this section, I cannot struggle with you today. The truth is too important for me to have to be distracted by your misbehavior. So if you all won't let anybody distract you, just like I will try to keep from anything distracting me, I really think I have the answer to your need. You don't get your prayers answered. And I'd like to help you with that. I can't think of a greater gift that I could give to you today to help you to figure out how to get what God has for you. I've taught our church, and the Bible teaches us, that prayer is asking. You could virtually exchange the word prayer and asking throughout the Bible. And I don't think we should. I think we ought to call prayer prayer. But if you want to define in one word the word prayer, it is asking. Prayer is not the admiration of God. Prayer is asking. Prayer is not meditation upon God. It is asking. Prayer is not praising God. Prayer is asking. Prayer is not thanksgiving unto God. Prayer is asking. Now, we should do all of those things that prayer is not. We should adore Him. We should meditate upon Him. We should praise Him. We should express our thanksgiving unto Him. But those things are not actually prayer. Now, those things could become a part of what you would call your prayer time. You should take the time to adore Him and take the time to meditate upon Him and take the time to praise Him and take the time to express thanksgiving. But prayer is asking. We have a men's prayer meeting every Saturday morning. At that time, we take prayer requests. And the men have heard me say this before. Men, at prayer request time, I'm not asking for testimonies, I'm asking for prayer requests. So I'm not asking you to tell me what you think about God. I'm asking you to tell me what you want God to give you. Why? Prayer is asking. Prayer is asking. The Bible says in James chapter 4, verse number 2, you have not because you ask not. We are promised, ask and it shall be given unto you. Matthew chapter 7, verse number 7. We are promised, seek and ye shall find. Matthew chapter 7, verse number 7. We are promised, knock and it shall be open unto you. Matthew chapter 7, verse number 7. Now, there is another side to this truth. Now, listen very carefully. If prayer is asking, then the answer to prayer must be receiving. If prayer is asking, the answer to asking is receiving. I believe it is the will of our Heavenly Father that we should be able to, day by day, ask things of Him, and then receive things of Him. I know that is so simple. But why is it so rare that we ask and receive? We live a Christian life. We float along in our Christian life. But if most of you were honest in your asking, you're not receiving. I wonder why. I think we should be willing, of course, to be satisfied with any answer that God gives us. Meaning we should be content with the will of God. We say that God may respond to our prayers in any way that He wants, and sure He can, He is God. We say God could respond to the asking with the answer of yes, and give us what we ask. Then we say God may respond with the answer no, and then not give us what we request. Then we say that God could respond to our asking and say to us, well, I want you to wait a while. Let me tell you something, folks. Let's be careful that we, in a lack of faith, have not created an alibi for the fruitlessness of our prayers. His answer is not always no. And His answer is not always wait. Far too often we accept the fact that we prayed, we didn't get what we prayed for, so we said, well, must not have been what he wanted me to have. I'm going to tell you something. I think sometimes we blame God for our lack. I said, let's be careful that we in a lack of faith have not created an alibi for the fruitlessness of our prayers. His answer is not always no. His answer is not always wait a while. Prayer is not to be an indefinite matter. The answer to asking and truly praying is receiving. We as Christians need to get close enough to God that we ask and receive. Question for you. When was the last time you specifically prayed and then specifically had your request met by God? Now I tell you what some of you need. Many need. You need to learn to pray. Now some of you need the character to actually do it. There are people across this room, you're in a mess, you're backslidden, you're in a mess, you're not praying like you should. I can't take the time to get all over you about the characterlessness of your prayerless life. But I do want to say that if you are going to pray, I want to help you to pray and receive. Let me help you, and I want you to stay with me. Number one, the Bible teaches that God answers prayer by getting that, by our getting that for which we have asked. God answers prayer by giving us that for which we ask. You know, the Bible promises clearly that we should expect to get what we pray for. According to the Bible, a genuine answer to prayer is simply getting your request. Matthew chapter 7, verse number 7, it says, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. If asking is praying, then receiving is the answer. If seeking is praying, then finding is God's answer. If knocking is praying, then having the door opened is the answer to the request. In John 16:24, it says, hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. Notice, ask, and ye shall receive. If asking is prayer, then receiving is the answer. James chapter 4, verse number 2 says, ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have, and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because you ask not. Notice, ye have not, because you ask not. If asking is prayer, then having is the answer. Let's not cover up our lack of faith with excuses for God. God does not need you to make up excuses for God. We too often don't pray like we should. Listen, and listen carefully. Most of the time when we don't get what we pray for, it's our fault. It's our fault. Then, we too often soothe our consciences by saying we didn't get what we asked for because God's answer was no. Or God's answer was wait. And so we soothe our own conscience with a, well, evidently that's not what God wanted me to have, when maybe God wanted you to have something, but you didn't pray right, and you weren't right when you prayed, and that's why you didn't get it. We almost want to make an alibi with our own conscience. We want to make an alibi with the public as to why I prayed but did not receive. If you don't get what you pray for, be sure you investigate the one that fails most. You. Did you hear that? If you don't get that for which you pray, be sure you investigate you. What about God? No, investigate you. The biggest hindrance to God answering your prayers is not God. The biggest hindrance to our not getting our prayers answered is us. Ask the Holy Spirit to show you your fault in not getting a yes from God. We've almost become educated religiously, and we can logic away some of God's promises. You say, Brother Owen, should we accept the will of God? Why, yes, we should accept the will of God. Yes, hey, we ought to accept the will of God, whatever it may be. But let me tell you something. Should we accept the fact that we never get what we pray for?
Well, wait a minute. Wait a minute. You say, well, I'm just accepting God's answer of no, and I'm just accepting God's answer of He'll give it to me another time. God didn't intend for that to be the answer every day of your life, 365 days a year. There's a problem somewhere. There's a problem somewhere when we pray and don't get, and we pray and we don't get, and we pray and we don't get, and we pray and we don't get, and then we soothe our mental consciences by saying, well, I guess the answer was no. God's answer is not always no, my friend. You say, well, what's the log jam? Is it God? Then who is it? It's me and you. Me and you. We've got our alibis. We've got our excuses that we conjure up to protect God's character. I don't need you to protect God. God needs you to figure out you, though. Hey, I'm not going to accept the fact that the answer's no repeatedly. I'm not going to accept the fact that the answer is wait a while, repeatedly. God wants you to ask. God wants you to receive. You say, well, Brother Owens, I mean, we're putting the pressure on here. We're scooting excuses out of the road. We're putting faith to the test. Indeed we are. Indeed we are. But I don't want to leave you right there. You say, why are you so strong? That makes me uneasy about my prayer life. Don't you think we better get uneasy about our prayer lives when we pray and we don't receive? Folks, let's just be honest with one another. How's your prayer life going? And don't you get tired of saying, well, evidently, God didn't want me to have it, and evidently, God wanted me to wait till another time. And some of you, the reason that you don't pray at all is because you weren't getting your prayers answered, and you said, what's the use? I'll put up a front about being a prayer, but look, I never get anything out of it. Why should I put anything into it? Well, I hate that for you. Let me tell you, God wants you to put into it, and God wants you to get something out of it. That's why He told us to pray. I won't leave you hanging, though. Let me show you what I think the missing element is. We must learn to pray in the will of God if we want to receive answers from God. So the first thing that I say to you this morning, I've already said, the Bible teaches that God answers prayer by our getting that for which we ask. Now, if we will learn to pray in the will of God, then we can receive what God wants us to have. You know, it is sad that the average Christian does not usually get what they ask for from God. But the problem is most Christians are very indefinite about their requests. We don't ask for concrete, definite, defined answers. The average prayer was presented not truly expecting to receive. We go through emotion, and that's it. This is also why we don't pray. The reason why many of us do not consistently pray is because when we did pray, we didn't get what we asked for, so we see no need to go back. Why don't you pray? Why is it that you just barely pray over your meals? God bless this food, amen. You know, if we were really getting things from God, you wouldn't stop going back to Him. You struggle going back to Him because you went and you didn't get what you asked for. So you thought, what's the use? The people who pray most are the ones that get their answers the most. Huh. This is why we so often listen to this. The average prayer prays and is not truly expecting to receive from God that for which they asked. So, this is why we often add to our prayers these words, if it be thy will, if it be thy will, if it be thy will. We ask God to send revival, if it be thy will. Save sinners, if it be thy will. Reclaim the backslidden, if it be thy will. Help us to overcome a sin in our life, if it be thy will. We ask God for the things He's already promised to give us. We ask Him for the things that He told us to ask Him for. And then we put a question mark beside it. If it be Thy will. If You're willing to save souls, Lord. If You're willing to bring revival, Lord. If You're willing to reclaim the backslidden, Lord. If You're willing to help me overcome this sin in my life. Why do we put that in there? This type of praying is not a sign of submission to God. It's a sign of our unbelief. Look, if God said, this is what I want you to have, ask me for it. Ask Him for it. Ask Him for it. Look, this is the sign of our unbelief when we attach that big if to something God already told us He wanted. It's a sign of our lack, not God's lack. Listen to this. I look out here, Brother Joe Cowling's sitting out here. He's one of our assistant pastors, and he's building an adult Sunday school class for us. You know, if I said to Brother Joe Cowling, Brother Joe, I want you to build the Happy Couple Sunday school class. So I tell him that. So that's what I want you to do. So then Joe comes back to me and asks, Brother Owens, will you help me build my class? That is, if Brother Owens, you want me to build it. Now, wait a minute. I already told him I wanted him to build it. Why would he come back to me and say, would you help me if you want it built? I already told you I want you to build it. You don't have to come back to me and say, if I want it built. The if in his request is a lack of faith and aggression on his part. When God said, I want you to have this, and you go back and say, God, I'd like to have that if you want me to have it. Well, He told you He wanted you to have it. And that if dilutes your faith in prayer. Suppose, stay with me now. And this is good for some of you theologians, at least ones that can stay awake. Suppose that if I added an if to the doctrine of the virgin birth. If I were preaching along and I said, well, if He were born of a virgin. If you're a true, old-fashioned, independent, fundamental Baptist, you say, wait a minute. Don't you question that. He was born of a virgin. What if I came to you and I said, if Jesus comes again. You say, whoa, 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 whoa. Revelation chapter 4, verse number 1. The book of 1 Thessalonians tells us He's coming again. He's coming again. John chapter 14, verse 1 through 3. Say, hey, preacher, don't you dare put an if with the second coming. Don't you dare put an if with the resurrection. Don't you dare put an if with salvation by grace through faith. If God saves you by grace through faith, you say, wait a minute. That's fighting words. Uh-huh. What are these? The doctrine of the virgin birth, the doctrine of the resurrection, the doctrine of the second coming of Jesus Christ, the doctrine of salvation by grace through faith. You know something? Somebody puts an if before one of those doctrines and you'll fight. Hey, but we'll put an if in front of God being a prayer answering God all day long, every day. We say, that's fine. Why? It's not because God's hand is shortened. It's because we don't ask in faith. In faith, strengthen your faith, Christian. Strengthen your faith in your God. We put too many ifs in our prayers. You see, if we put these ifs in front of those doctrines of the resurrection and the second coming and salvation by grace through faith, it would steal our victory and steal our confidence. We would feel that we could not absolutely depend on God's Word. What do you think we're supposed to do? We are absolutely depend on our God being a prayer-answering God. God does not want His doctrines diluted with ifs. He would also include the doctrine of prayer. God wants us to find out how to pray according to His will. Why? So He can give us what He wants to give us. Then He wants us to expect some definite answers to our prayers. Luke chapter 11, verse 11 and 12, the Bible is teaching something. It says if we ask for bread, He wants us to expect bread, not a stone. You young married ladies that are cooking for your husband, learn from that. If He asks for bread, He wants bread.
Not a stone. Don't worry, honey. I'm not going to say anything about our very first Thanksgiving together.
Hey, the Bible says in Luke chapter 11, verse 11 and 12, if we ask for fish, He wants us to expect fish, not a snake. Luke chapter 11, verse 11 and 12, He said, if you ask for an egg, He wants us to expect an egg, not a scorpion. Folks, God wants to answer your prayer. And if you want Him to answer your prayer, you've got to learn to pray in the will of God, expecting a yes answer. Now, you say, okay, all right, and this is a little bit of a tight teaching for me today. Well, now let me help you. Because my third point is this. To pray in the will of God, there are some important conditions that must first be met. Let me show you three things that will help you to pray in the will of God so God can give you what He already promised to give you. Oh, it's not as slipshod of a system as what the crazymatics and the liberal theologians might make it out to believe. No, there is something to it. Some of you are saying, well, wait a minute, I have prayed specifically and I never got what I wanted. Well, there are prerequisites to this. If not, you would have gotten everything and wouldn't matter how you were living or what was going on. Now, there are some prerequisites, specific prerequisites. Listen, I said thirdly, to pray in the will of God, there are some important conditions that must be met. Let me show you what they are. First of all, there must be a full surrender to the will of God. A full surrender to the will of God. There can be no happy, successful prayer life for a rebellious child of God. I hate to tell you this, but if you're living in rebellion to God, you won't get your prayers answered. And if you did get any answer, they'll be minimal. We'd like to think that God answers all prayers for all people. Somebody sitting here that you never come to church, you never read your Bible, you never live for God, and you say, well, I prayed and didn't get what I wanted. You didn't qualify to get what you wanted, so I'm going to another church. They never said that to me. And you can continue in your prayerless and answerless prayers for the rest of your life if you want to. If you're going to come to God, you're going to have to come to God by His means, not yours. And so, God has said straight to you, here's a credit card. I don't care what you do or who you are or how you live. Go get whatever you want. Oh, no, 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 no. You prove yourself to God. You want access to what He has for you. I guess you better line up to His expectations for you. So I say, if you want to pray and get the answer to what you pray, you must first be in full surrender to the will of God in your life. I said there can be no happy, successful prayer life for a rebellious child of God. The Bible says in Psalm 37:4, delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Now that verse is often misconceived. People don't understand it, but the part I want to point out to you very quickly is it says, delight thyself also in the Lord. You know what that means? You let God become your delight. The last part of the verse says, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. That means you become delighted in the holiness of God. And I'm not talking about you admire His holiness. You become holy like Him. Delight thyself also in the Lord. And then it says, He shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Now, some people think that, well, if I'll live for God, He'll give me anything I want. No, if you'll live for God, He'll tell you what to want. He will give you the right things to desire. Some of you ask, and you'll get what you ask for because God didn't want you to have it because it wasn't good for you. But if you delighted yourself in Him, then He would help you to want the right things. Let me show you something. When Jesus taught us to pray, He said the very first request that in Matthew chapter 6, verse number 9. You remember the prayer where it says, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done? Remember that? Hallowed be thy name. What's it talking about? My relationship with God is this. He's holy. And I know that. He's not a credit card. If I want God to answer my prayer, I better figure out who God is. And God is holy. He said, hallowed be thy name. It says, thy will be done on earth. See, God is our Father, and we as children should be in subjection to Him. If you want to get your prayers answered, I'm sorry to have to say this to you today, but I would be shortchanging you as your pastor. If you want to get your prayers answered, obey God. Obey God. I'm going to tell you why you don't get your prayers answered. One of the reasons you don't get your prayers answered is, number one, you don't pray. The reason you don't pray is because you're not obeying God. People that won't obey God, God's not going to run to them and give them everything they want. You have children? When your children disobey, do you give them everything they want? You see, it says, "Thy will be done." Jesus is teaching someone to pray. He said, you pray like this. You look to God and say, "Hallowed be thy name. Thy will be done." God is our Father, and children that will not subject themselves to the Father are not going to get what they want from the Father. He said, "Well, I don't like that about God." That is the way God set it up. We will have no victory in our prayer life until we want for ourselves what He wants for us. We need to humbly go to God and say, "Father, show me how to pray. I want to pray in Thy will. I want to ask what will please Thee. I want to have what You want me to have." You won't get your prayers answered until you say, "God, I want to have what You want me to have. I don't want to have what I want. I want to have what You want." That's called praying in the will of God. That's realizing, "Hallowed be thy name." He knows everything. He's the one that threw the stars out into the universe. He created you from dust. The God that created you knows exactly what you need. And until you'll submit yourself and say, "I want thy will, not my will," you're going to have a hard time getting your prayers answered. He said, "Well, I want to ask and receive." Then you must ask in His will. Every Christian who wants to pray for definite things and get exactly what they pray for should first go to God and say, "Lord, teach me to pray. Tell me what You want me to pray for." You say, "Brother Owens, I want to pray and get what I pray for." Then you must first decide you don't want what you want. You want what He wants. That's praying in the will of God. God delights to answer the prayer of the heart that is totally surrendered to His will. Listen, James chapter 4, verse number 2, the Bible says, "You have not because you ask not." See, God has much He wants to give you. Then He turns around in verse number 3 of James chapter 4 and says, "You ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your own lust." We don't get our prayers answered because we don't want what He wants. It's proven by the way we live. If you wanted what He wanted, you'd live right. If you'd live right, you'd want what He wanted. You could ask Him for it, and He'd give it to you. Does that make sense to you? I don't think that's too strong of logic. I think that's pretty clear. If you wanted what He wanted for you, then you'd receive it. I have a cute little story here. Timmy had been misbehaving in children's church and was isolated from the other children for a time. After a while, he emerged and informed his Sunday school teacher that he had thought it over and then prayed about his misbehavior. "Fine," said the Sunday school teacher. "If you ask God to help you not to misbehave, He will answer your prayer." "Oh, I didn't ask Him for that," said Timmy. "I asked Him to help you put up with me while I misbehave." Oh, that's cute, that's funny, but funny. It's funny how we want everybody else to do it, but what about us? You want your prayers answered? I want you to get the answer yes when you pray. God wants to answer you. We way too often go through this process of, "Well, God's answer was no." "Well, God's answer was wait." God's answer is not always no, my friend. God's answer is not always wait, my friend. Sometimes God says, "I'm not giving it to you because of you, not because of me." We blame God that we don't get our prayers answered. I'm sticking up for Him today. Amen. There are people in here, you're bitter and angry with God. Why? You didn't get something you asked for. Don't blame my God. My God's in charge of this whole thing. Everything He does is right. Everything He does is pure. Everything He does is just. come here to... God doesn't need you to make up excuses for him. You quit dumping on God. You quit making God look like he's not a good God. You quit making God look like he doesn't keep his promises. He always keeps his promises. I want to defend my God today. Oh, Christian, stop and realize something. Hey, God and what he wrote in the Bible, it's always right, it's always true, it's always pure, it's always just. And if there's something messed up in the process, it's not with God. It's with man. It's with me. It's with you. Say, boy, that's heavy, Brother Owens. Some of you enjoy it more if I was preaching against the Sodomites right now. This is a bigger problem in America than the Sodomites. The lack of prayer and the lack of faith by God's people. As we liberalize with the standards of churches across America, I'll guarantee you we have liberalized in regard to our belief in a prayer-answering God. We're smart enough in the day of technology to figure out alibis and how to cover up the lack of a God that comes upon a church because of the prayers of God's people. We're looking for a way to just explain away the reason we can't get our prayers answered. I'm here to say to you today, when prayers are not answered, if they're asked in the will of God, God will give us what we want. And when they're not answered, it's not God's fault. God's always right. God's always pure. I said to you, there are prerequisites. Prerequisites to getting our prayers answered. Prerequisite number one is we must be in full submission or full surrender to the will of God. See, I want my prayers answered. Are you in the will of God? Right now. Secondly, well, and by the way, we sing a song. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter. I am the clay. Mold me and make me. All submission. That song's all submission to God. Have thine own way. 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 You know, if you lived your life all day long, have thine own way. Have thine own way. Have thine own way. And God comes along and says, son, I want you to pray. You'll turn around and pray in the will of God. If you've already told God you're wanting to have what he wants, why wouldn't he give you what you asked for? All you wanted was what he wanted. How you get your prayers answered. Submission to the will of God. Secondly, you must have an understanding of God's Word. Why? So you can know God's will. I said, secondly, you must have an understanding of God's Word. Why? So that you can understand God's will. John 15:7 says this, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Now that we have surrendered to His will, that's point, prerequisite number one, expectation number one, surrender totally to His will, totally. Have thine own way, Lord. Now, number two, I've got to know God's Word. Why? Because it is God's Word that teaches me God's will. It is God's Word that teaches me God's will. If you get to the point where you say, I'll do anything you want, Lord, your will is my will. Empty yourself of your own will. And say, God, your will is all I want. Now, we got to figure out what is God's will. Where are we going to figure that out? You won't figure it out reading Ann Landers. Dr. Phil won't fill you in. Right. Oprah's going to fall short. So where am I going to figure out what God's will is? I've got my attitude right. I'm totally, totally, totally surrendered to God's will. Now what is God's will? God's will is found in God's Word. God's Word will teach you God's will. That's why He said in John 15:7, if my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and shall be done unto you. You can't know His will without knowing His Word. It's made very clear in the Scripture. Psalm chapter 1, verse 1 through 3 tells you that you need to delight in the law of the Lord. Joshua chapter 1, verse 7, 8, 9 tells us that we are to meditate in the law of the Lord day and night. This is not just when I say to you, you surrender to the will of God. In other words, you eliminate your will. You take you out of it and say, God, whatever you want, I want. Number two, you say, now I got to know what you want, God. Where am I going to find it? I'm going to find it in the Word of God. And it's not just a matter of I read my Bible. There are all sorts of people that read their Bibles that don't get from God what God wants to give them in answer to their prayers. Why? It's not just about reading the Bible. It is about loving the Bible, absorbing the Bible, letting it control everything about you. living it. All sorts of people read the Bible and don't live what they read. When the Bible says, you let my words abide in you, that means live in you. Do you know if somebody lives with you, they affect what you are? They affect what you are. You submit to the will of God, and then you go to the Word of God to figure out what the will of God is. Then we can come to God in prayer. We can honestly say, dear Father, I found in your Word that you want me to have this. And it would glorify you if I had it. So I believe your promise. I'm asking you to give me what your Word said you wanted to give me. That makes a whole lot of sense to God. You cannot pray in the will of God if you don't know the Word of God. You can't know the will of God if you don't know the Word of God. Prayers that are based on something other than the Bible, which is God's instruction book, usually don't get answered. Example. The Word of God says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, any Christian who knows that verse can pray to God and get instant forgiveness of their sins. That Christian can get instant cleansing from their sins. God will without fail answer their prayer for forgiveness because their request was made based on 1 John 1:9. God said, you come to me, I'll forgive you. I go to God and I say, God, 1 John 1:9 said, if I'd come to you, you'd forgive me. God said, done deal. You got me there, child. I go to God and say, God, right here it says in 1 John 1:9, if I sinned against you, you would forgive me. Oh, God, I ask you right now, forgive me based on 1 John 1:9. He doesn't say, my answer is no. He can't. My answer is later. He can't. We've got him. Based on what? His Word. You say, I want to get something from God. Then you lose your will about it. And you want His will about it. Then you go to the Word of God to figure out what His will is. Then you go to Him and say, right here it says, your will is this. I want that. God said, that's what I want. Here. No problem. You got me. On the other hand, a Christian who prays for riches in this world is not praying in the will of God. Why? Because Matthew 6:33 says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness and all these other things, or all these things shall be added unto you. God never commands you and I to pray for riches. Not in the Bible. Praying for riches to increase you is not found in the Bible. They probably won't get it. And there's some of you, you prayed for riches over and over again. God said, won't you seek me first, then I'll help you with the rest of that. To get a yes answer, your prayer must be in submission to the will of God. And you're not going to know the will of God unless you've gone to the Word of God to figure out what His will is. So, I said this, God wants to answer your prayers. He wants to. There are some prerequisites to getting a yes answer. You say, what is it? Well, number one, you need to submit to the will of God. In other words, you decide it's not what you want. It is what He wants. You empty yourself of self. You get you out of it. You lose what you want. You say, I want completely filled up with what you want. Now, what does He want? There's only one place to find out what He wants, and that's from His want book. Then you go to the perfect Word of God, and you look in that, and you find out what the will of God is in life. Now, when you go to God wanting what He wants, I guess it makes sense that He'd give you what He wants. So prerequisite number three. To pray in the will of God, you're going to need the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Some of you, that you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you do not have the leadership of the Holy Spirit for anything but one thing, and that's getting saved. People that are unsaved only are going to be led by the Holy Spirit to do one thing, that's get born again. He'll lead you to get born again. But those of you that are saved, on the day that you got saved, the Holy Spirit of God was sealed into you, and to the day of redemption, and He is there to lead you and to do for you what your carnal self cannot do for itself. Romans chapter 8, verse 26 and 27 says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Notice those words, will of God and prayer in there? I said to you, number one, you lose your will. I say, number two, you go to the Word of God, and that's where you find out what His will is. Number three, I say to you, the Holy Spirit of God then steps in and begins to help you with your prayer life. God gave Him to you. Notice it says here that the Holy Spirit maketh intercession for us. Without the Holy Spirit's guidance, our poor, carnal, limited minds would struggle with the thousands of details about the will of God. But He helps our infirmities regarding prayer. He helps us in our weakness in regard to prayer. He's the one who can help us to understand and learn the Word of God. See, the Holy Spirit of God will help you with understanding the Word of God so you can understand the will of God. The prayer, I pray more about my preaching than any other prayer, is Holy Spirit of God, help them to understand. Holy Spirit of God, work on their hearts. Holy Spirit of God, make it clear to them. Holy Spirit of God, please. Holy Spirit, I can't do it. I'm one man. I can't speak to the children and speak to the senior saints. I can't speak to those that have been saved for 1 week and those that have been saved for 60 or 70 years. Holy Spirit of God, the Word of God is too fast. I'm only a man. Oh God, please, Holy Spirit of God, speak down inside of them. Get in their minds, get in their hearts, get in their subconscious and do something. Why? I can't do it. I'm a man. And you can't do all you're supposed to do in regard to your prayer life. You need the Holy Spirit of God to do some communicating for you. Let me read it to you again. Romans 8:26-27. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. He is the one who can help us to understand and learn the Word of God, which is a must to getting our prayers answered. Why? Well, if we did away with our will and we want nothing but His will, we've got to figure out what His will is. How do we find out His will? We find out His will from the Word of God. Who's going to lead us to understand the Word of God? The Holy Spirit of God. John 14:26 says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. And bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. To pray in the will of God, you need the personal leadership of the Holy Spirit. In Romans 8:27, it says, he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. That virtually means God's talking to you and to God, trying to get a connection there so you can get what you want. It means God, the Holy Spirit talks to God for us. He gets for us, from God, things that we need. See, you say, Brother Owens, I'm only a human. How can I make that connection with God? It's such a spiritual thing. It's such a big thing. It's such a powerful thing. God put down inside you the most powerful thing He's ever created, the Holy Spirit of God. He is the adapter that connects man to God, and that's why He left Him inside you. And lead you. He didn't leave the Holy Spirit inside you so you could roll in the aisles and froth at the mouth and speak in some jibber-jabberish garbage. That was not the purpose. It was to help you to communicate with your God and get what you pray for. He can help us to pray according to the will of God. Remember, this is the key to getting your prayers answered. Any prayer, listen carefully, any prayer that is Holy Spirit-led will be answered. Any prayer that is truly Holy Spirit-led will be answered. You say, why? The Holy Spirit is God. If God leads you through the Holy Spirit to ask Him for something, God wants you to have what He already wants you to have. It's a done deal. Let me see if I can quickly illustrate this. Let's see. Brother Owens, why don't you come up here for a second? Brother Bush, I want you to stand up here for a second. Brother Owens, you come up here to my right. Brother Owens, you're going to be the Holy Spirit. And here's what happens. He needs something. This is man. He needs something from God. Now what he must do is he's got to lose his will. He's got to want exactly what God wants. You know, if he would ask me for something I'm already ready to give him, then he could have it. See, God comes first in prayer, not you. It's what does God already want for you. Those are the ones you're sure to get. Just like that. What does he already want for you? So, he needs something I have. I already know what he needs. He's got to figure it out. That means you've got to lose your will. You've got to decide, God, whatever you already want for me. God, whatever you already have for me. God, whatever you want, that's what I want. Now, how's he going to figure that out? Because he's a lowly man. Just like me and you. He's a lowly man. God said, go to my word. Go to my word. Here's the word of God. Go to my word. You'll figure me out in my word. If you lose your will, go to my word. You say, but Brother Owen says, then what do I do? Then the Holy Spirit of God can lead you in the word. He can guide you in the word. He can even tell you from the word what to ask me for. But when you ask, if you ask in the power of the Holy Spirit, he'll be the one asking me. If the Holy Spirit said, this lines up with the Word of God, let me tell you something. The Word of God and the Spirit of God always agree. Yes. Always agree. No conflict. Yes. No conflict. So he wants the will of God. He's got to figure out how to get it. I say, go to the Word of God. How's he going to understand it? The Holy Spirit is going to help him to understand it. He's then going to say, praying in the Spirit of God. Spirit of God, you've led me. The Word of God has led me that this is what I want. The Spirit of God then comes to God and says, God, he wants what you want. God said, well, no problem. We'll give that to him. We'll give that to him. That's how we can get our prayers answered. You say, Brother Owens, is God's answer ever no? I guess. I don't know. Did the answer ever wait? I guess. But I'll tell you this. His answer, if you're asking for something he already wants you to have, his answer is yes to that. Good. And if you just would stop wanting what you want and start wanting what he wants, you'd get prayers answered just all day long. Thank you, gentlemen. So, you seek his will, not your own. You learn from his word what his will is. You submit to the Holy Spirit so he can be your go-between and help sort through all of this. Then you pray in the Spirit of God. Spirit of God goes to God and says, this is what he wants. Why would the Spirit of God ask God for something that God doesn't want to give? And God said, well, that's what I wanted anyway. And God then gives to the Christian what the Christian wants. Why is it that we logic away God answering prayer? Again, I go back to, Why is it most of the time in your brain, after you've prayed and don't get what you prayed for, you say, well, his answer must have been no. Why is it most of the time you say his answer was, he wanted me to wait? Why is that is the answer most of the time? I think we have an unbelief and we don't pray God's way. Now, go over your prayer list. Ask yourself, is this God's will or is it mine? Is your request according to the written word of God? Did the Holy Spirit lead you to pray for it? Based on what? A feeling? No, based on the word of God. Remember, praying is asking. If you're not receiving, don't spend all your time examining God. If you're not receiving, spend your time examining you. The log jam is more often us than God. God has some things he wants you to have. Figure out what they are quick. Why? So you can get them. You know what we do? We spend our life trying to figure out what we want. You think you want better for you than what God wants for you? Why don't you spend your life wanting what he wants? Just say, I just decided to surrender my whole will to you. You want better for me than what I want for myself. Why am I running around looking for what I want, what I want, what I want, what I want? Because when you ask for it, if it's not what he wants for you, you're not going to get it anyway. Won't you spend your whole life saying, what do you want, God? 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 Show me in your word. Let the Holy Spirit help me. I want to ask you for it because I want it.
You've heard the story, and I'm finished. A man died, went to heaven. While there, he was taken on a tour, taken into an amazing room full of wonderful, wonderful things. Just what we would call the riches of life, if you will. And the man inquired, he said, well, what is this? What is this room? And the angel that was giving the tour said, these are all the things that God had for you, but you never asked. Let me tell you something. God has some things for you, but it's probably not what you want. It's what He wants. And if He wants it, and that's what He wants to give you anyway, if you can figure out what it is, doesn't it make sense you're sure to get it? All you got to do is figure out what He wants and get your wants out of the road. Remember the scripture. The Bible says, ask and it shall be given you. Remember the scripture. You have not because you ask not, but you have not because you ask amiss. Three prerequisites. Lose your will. Seek His and His word. Let the Holy Spirit make up the difference.